grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thursday and Friday saw back-to-back record setting in the state of Wisconsin for positive tests. Thursday had 2,000, the next day had 2,500. I don't know what the next days will happen. We have fires in whole states. We have cities that are burning. We have cities that are being filled with water from hurricanes. We have death. We have viruses. We have cancer and diseases and hatred and all of these things. And I don't think that our scripture lessons could have come at a better time. Think about these words from our opening hymn. What God ordains is always good. This truth remains unshaken. Though sorrow, need, or death be mine, I shall not be forsaken. I fear no harm, for with his arm he shall embrace and shield me. So to my God I yield me. Even if results came back with 5,000 people filled with a virus, we would still come to the Lord's house. So often, our princes, the man, the one who's in charge of things from day to day, so often it feels like they only tell us half-truths. We don't know exactly what's going on in the world out there. But think about our graduate from Psalm 118 this morning. Think about these words. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Now, I know we don't have princes. This is the United States. We threw away kingship and monarchy. But all of the princes are telling us all these different things, and it's hard to know what to believe. It's hard to know what is true out there. And so instead we turn to the Word of God. The Word of God that teaches us not to fear. The Word of God that teaches us not to be anxious, but to turn toward Him. In our Old Testament lesson, Elijah is sent by God to a widow and her son. This woman's husband had died, and now she was left to fend for herself. Elijah is sent. And he approaches her. He sees this woman who is gathering sticks. She's gathering sticks to burn one last fire, to make one last food for her son and her, that they might die. Think about how at the end of the rope she must have felt. And Elijah comes to her, and while she's preparing, getting ready to prepare the last meal for her son and herself that they might die, he asks for food. He says, do not fear. And I think the Lord has said the same thing to us today. The same thing he has said for the last 6 months, the same thing he will say for the next 6 months until he decides to return to judge the living and the dead. Do not fear, he says to this woman who is preparing to make a final meal for her son and for herself that they might die. God works miracles, and he continues to provide for that widow and her son until he sends rain once again. And your God will continue to provide you everything that you need to support this body and life for every day that he is set to be a part of your life. In our epistle lesson, we read these words from Galatians chapters 5 and 6. Words that remind us of the sermon from last week. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. The flesh desires the things of the flesh, but the Spirit desires the things of the Spirit. The flesh desires destruction. The Spirit desires life. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, St. Paul writes. I saw videos last week of rioters crying out the words, and I'm not going to repeat the exact word, but basically it's curse your Jesus without the word curse. Loudly, those cries rang out in a major city within the United States, a country that used to acknowledge that God has blessed us, acknowledge that everything that we have has come as an unalienable right from our Creator. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And while he may allow his name to be blasphemed here in time, the day will come when Jesus Christ returns and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. But in that day, it will be too late for them. Confess the name of Jesus Christ as Lord today, for you do not know the hour nor the day with which Jesus will return. If you have blasphemed his name, return and repent and cry about with his name, asking for his mercy. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Following the desires of your flesh lead to death and destruction, but following the desires of the Spirit gives you eternal life. Heaven is not something you can earn for yourself. Heaven is not something you can achieve for yourself. Heaven is a mere gift of God, given to you, just like the faith has been given to you by the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is eternal life awaiting for us if we die in the faith. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. We are called to love one another. We are called to serve one another. We are not called to look at our brothers and sisters in Christ as if they are someone to be feared, as if they are someone who could kill us. Rather, we are to look at them and look at them as love. We are a family here at St. Peter's. Everyone that is in this room is a part of your family. These are the faces that we hope to see for eternity in heaven. So do not look at them wondering if they will hurt you. Look at them with love and compassion, with joy at the fact that their faces are next to yours here in time, and pray that they will be with you there in eternity. Let us do good, and let us not be anxious. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." And he says, "Consider the birds of the air. They don't care about where their food's going to come, and yet they know that the Father provides it. Look at the grass of the fields. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't work, and yet the Lord clothes them." Keep in mind that you are much more valuable to our Father than the birds of the air, than the grass and the lilies of the field. Jesus says, "Are you not of more value than they?" God the Father sent his only begotten Son into the flesh, into our fallen world, not for the birds, not for the grass or the lilies, but for you. You are of more value, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that Son came into our flesh, and he went to a cross that he did not deserve, to suffer and death, a death that we deserve, to save the whole world. All mankind he has come to save. And unfortunately, there are so many who reject him in their hearts and with their lips. His name will not be blasphemed forever. On that final day, they will kneel, they will bow, and they will confess him, but then it will be too late. That is why we are called to come and gather here each and every week to hear his word proclaimed to us, to receive the forgiveness of sins won for us by Jesus Christ, and to tell them, because they don't know and they need to know what Jesus Christ has done. Jesus says, "Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" I think this is an extremely important verse for us today. Anxiety, depression, suicide, all of these things are high because there are so many people who are afraid of what is going to come next. We want to be in control, and we're not. But for the Christian, we find solace. We find joy because we actually look forward to death. We don't try to quicken it, but we do look forward to it, because death leads to eternal life, won for us by Jesus Christ and given to us as a gift by the Holy Spirit. Your anxiety, your fear and concern cannot add a single hour to the span of your life, because God has already set out how many hours and how many minutes and how many seconds you will live on this earth. And whether he chooses that your death come by COVID or from cancer or from driving in your car or from sitting in your home, your days are already numbered by him. And so rather than being anxious about it, rather than fretting about what is said on the news, we continue to come to this house. Because we don't know that day or hour, but we do know that Jesus Christ will come. And we want to be ready for that day. We want to be cleansed for that day. We want to be found with oil in our lamps, burning with the flame of faith. O you of little faith, he says, do not be anxious. If your faith has been belittled, if your faith has been rocked or shocked, repent. Return to the Lord this day, receiving the benefits and blessings that he has to give each and every week. Do not fear the Lord's house. Do not fear your brothers or sisters. Do not fear the gifts of the medicine of immortality. The cup of the Lord, the chalice, is not something for us to be afraid of. It has never been something for us to be afraid of. Even if the worst disease was prevalent, the cup of the Lord that gives us the blood of Jesus Christ is not to be feared. Death and disease was all around Christ when he instituted his supper. And yet he gave them a shared cup, a cup that was passed among all of them for them to share, to receive his blood. Think about the words from our opening hymn. What God ordains is always good. His loving thought attends me. No poison can be in the cup that my physician sends me. My God is true. Each morning new, I trust his grace unending, my life to him commending. Seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness. Don't seek fear. Don't seek anxiety. Don't seek comfort from the world. Seek the things of the kingdom of God. Seek your family within these walls to hear the blessings and receive them. Jesus says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Every year I have our confirmands learn those words by heart so that we trust God. We do not trust ourselves. We do not trust the world. We do not trust the princes. Rather, we trust God. We take refuge in God. And I want you to consider these words from Luther's sermon on this text from almost 500 years ago, words that are very fitting. The world will always worry about the future and think that it is making its affairs more certain in that way. It thinks that it is accomplishing so much that it can defy danger and protect and preserve itself. It does not see that this is in vain and that its calculations fail. It is true, and experience testifies, as Christ here says, that each day brings its own misfortune and evil. This is why it happens that with all its own calculations and cleverness, by which it intends to safeguard itself and get ahead of all future danger, the world only causes more misery and harm. When they see that things do not happen the way that they thought they should, or there is an accident, then they begin to hesitate, fall from one thing to the next, and imagine that they must seek help, protection, and deliverance wherever and however they can. Thus, they have recourse and strive to help matters with all kinds of unusual intrigues and tricks by which they stir up unbelief against God and conscience, so that they can carry out what they have in mind, even though they see that God does not grant it success. From this comes much misfortune, misery, murder, warfare, and all the evil tricks of the godless world. Each one intends to carry out his affairs without God, to oppress and suppress anyone who would hinder him, and would rather throw everything onto a heap than give up and yield his obstinacy. In this way, everything good in all affairs and governances perishes, and nothing but misfortune grows, as all histories and daily experience show more than enough. Christ admonishes his believers against this, so that they do not waver and base what they do on uncertainty with fruitless worries about the future. Rather, at every time and daily, they are to do what is right and not worry how things will turn out, nor let themselves be diverted for the sake of uncertain future good or evil. They are to commend the worry to God. Then they can take what happens to them as good and overcome it with patience and faith. On earth, it cannot happen differently than this. In their governance, estate, and office, they will daily find things other than they would like to see. And this causes them much trouble and work. This is why Christ calls this life a daily affliction or misfortune. That is, all kinds of calamity, opposition, and hindrance. We should know this and be prepared for it, so that we are not frightened away from doing good, nor give way to the world and participate in its wrongful, evil affairs, and thus lead ourselves and others into ruin and damnation. These words give us comfort. No matter what the world throws at you, no matter what the devil throws at you, take your cares, take your burdens, and place them on the foot of the cross. Take his yoke and follow him. And lastly, I've spent the last 6 months trying to convince people to get over their fear, and I have failed to acknowledge those who have come here each and every week for the last 6 months. I'm sorry. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate your diligence and the strength of your faith to be in the Lord's house each and every week, even though you thought that it would bring you death. And I don't know what will bring you death, but I do know that here is where we are called to be. Here is where we receive those gifts and build each other up to love God, to serve our neighbor. So I thank you. Build each other up. Encourage one another. Lean on each other. And enjoy the beautiful gifts of God. The church sings, "If death my portion be, it brings great gain to me. It speeds my life's endeavor to live with Christ forever. He gives me joy in sorrow, come death now or tomorrow." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.